Anyway, don't open it. Famous last words. Here was the situation. Here was the context. Maybe you've seen something like this. I hope this is not your house. If it is, let me know, and we will get there immediately. Famous last words. Don't open it. The backdrop was this. To go right into the heart of New Orleans following this situation. How many of you remember Hurricane Katrina, 2005? Yeah. One of the costliest, deadliest storms, hurricanes to ever hit American soil. And it was in this place that we were invited to go down and to make some repairs, to clean up, and to go into rooms just like this. You know, after a week of being there and gutting homes and cleaning out neighborhoods and streets and closets and ceiling panels and a lot of other places with a group of 20-plus other students and young adults from our campus ministry back in Nebraska years ago, it was hard to say the least. It was hard to see people's homes look like a giant washing machine had been turned on in their house, all the doors and all the windows sealed up, and what resulted, well, you can see it for yourself. Clothing, personal items, pictures, photo albums, irrecoverable. But it was in this place that we heard this message. Open it. Not the refrigerator that I was told time and time again, do not open that refrigerator as you're taking it out. Okay, lesson learned. The hard way. Whew. I grew up on a pig farm, by the way, in Nebraska. I thought I was ready. I was wrong. Why was I wrong? But I found it interesting that in this backdrop of brokenness, loss, and hopelessness, the big message and takeaway was just this. Open it. Go into this neighborhood that's been forsaken and open it up to hope. Go into this street that's littered with stuff, with cages, with articles and items and things that just couldn't be collected. Open it up and bring hope. Go into this neighborhood that people feel they can never, ever return to again. Go in there, clean it. Show them the presence of God and give them hope. Open it up and open it wide. If we think back to our message, our gospel reading from this morning from John chapter 11, we find Jesus at the tomb of one of his dear friends, Lazarus, the brother of Martha and Mary. And in a lot of ways, this is Jesus' attitude and this is Jesus' response to the situation before the tomb. Open it. We hear this from John chapter 11, and if you need to go back to the gospel reading this morning to reference it, I encourage you to do that. But this is what we find Jesus saying, verse 38. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. There's a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. Makes me think of something else, if I'm honest with you this morning. Makes me think of this little booklet. Maybe some of you are familiar with this already. It's called My Heart, Christ's Home by author Robert Boyd Munger. And in this book, he talks about how your heart and my heart are essentially like a house. Surprise, surprise, My Heart, Christ's Home. Thanks, Pastor Seth. Got it. But he goes to talk, thank you for some of you who laughed. There's the rest of you, good, you're awake. He talks about how our heart and our life are essentially like a house. And in our heart, in our mind, in our life, are all these different rooms. Rooms like these. You have them, you've seen them, you've been there. Some of them maybe you don't want to go back to. But anyway, your dining room, your living room, your basement, your garage, your man cave, your attic, and so forth. And he talks about how Christ desires to go into each one of these places to be Lord right there. So in other words, Jesus wants to be able to live with you and have a relationship with you in such a way that he is able to go into those places that we need him the most. And I'll be honest with you this morning, there are some rooms in my own heart that I am more, we'll say, more freed up to give him access to than others. And the point this author makes is just this. There are places in our hearts, our minds, and our lives that we just don't want Jesus to go. Like the closet. You got one, and so do I. If you think back to that place in your room that you hope no one ever, ever opens, right? The room upstairs, tucked off to the right, that you hope and pray no one ever opens. Because if they do, boy, tidal wave of stuff. Buried. See ya. But maybe just maybe there's something else that we don't want Christ to know about or others to know about. Something that we're not happy with. Something that we've struggled with. Stuff like this. Jesus, if you open that, I know you want to go into these other rooms. I'll give you access to the dining room. We can talk there. I'll even bring you into the basement, right? And we'll hang out there for a while. I'll bring you out to the man cave and we'll work there, right? We'll get dirty, work with the tools. It'll be great. We'll have a good time. Jesus, I'll even take you up to the attic and show you all the stuff I've stored for years. We'll go look in my photo albums and all the pictures I drew as kids. We'll look at all that stuff. But Jesus, you don't want to go in the closet. Don't open it. You wouldn't like what you find there. Because if I open it up for you, then you're going to see my fears. You're going to see my pains, my worries, my doubts, my struggles. You're going to see my past. You're going to see my struggles with sin. Jesus, there are dead things in there, and it stinks. You don't want to open it. And yet, what does Jesus say? Open it. We go back to John chapter 11, we pick it up at verse 39, and this is Martha's response too, right? Don't open it, Jesus. You're not going to like what you find. We've already learned and established that Lazarus, he ain't coming back. He'd been there 4 days. No one comes back from that. No one. This is what Martha says, verse 39. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Once again, Jesus, if I didn't say it clearly enough the first time, I'll say it again. Jesus, don't open it. But Jesus, being who he is, as your God and my God, as your Savior and mine, his response is this. Open it. Verse 40. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? You see, I hope we're seeing this as a theme as we go through these close encounters with Jesus, like the blind man last week who everyone else just cast off like a part of the scenery, right? He's like a shrub. He's like a bush. We just walk past him every day. Maybe just like some other people that we know in our lives. We walk right past them. They're just part of the scenery. But Jesus actually sees this person, and when he does, boy, it changes his life. It changes the life of the community. Same here. What Jesus is about to do in opening up this tomb is going to change a life. It's going to change yours and mine too. Jesus had said this prior to Martha, before Martha's opposition. Don't open it, Jesus. This is what he said. Verse 25 and 26. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. You see, Jesus has to open this tomb. He has to, not just for Lazarus, not just for Martha and Mary, not just for all the people who are sitting on the background wondering, what's this Jesus going to do? But he's got to open it up for you and for me. Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. You see, Jesus had to open it, just like he had to open up something else for you and for me. This season of Lent, we remember what that is. Jesus faithfully followed the will of our Heavenly Father. And the will was this, Jesus, open it, open it. Open a way for my children to come home. Open up a way for my people to come home. Open up a way so that their sins, their past, their struggles, their mistakes won't keep them from me. Jesus, open a way. And Jesus said, yes, for you and for me. In this Lenten season, we see what it cost him. thinking back to the closet, thinking back to those places that we don't want Jesus to open, we don't want Jesus to go. This is what Jesus does, in case you didn't know this, when he opens it. He takes those fears and he replaces them with hope. He takes those pasts and those struggles and he replaces them with grace and forgiveness. He takes the hopelessness of the situation and he brings in hope. He takes away death and he brings in life. And he does that for you. And he does that for me. And if you're wondering if his grace and his mercy and his love for you ever run out, the answer is no. May God meet you in those places in your life today that you feel closed off. May God meet you in those places where you have an area that you don't want opened but need opened. And may God do for you what he's done for Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, and what he's done for you and for me many times over. May he meet you in your place of hopelessness and give you hope. May God grant this to us for Jesus' sake. Amen.